الشيطان اللعين الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله الذي ليس لأوليته ابتداء ولا لأزليته انقضاء وانحصرت الأوصاف عن كنه معرفته وردعت عظمته الأقول والذي لا تواري عنه سماء سماء ولا أرض أرضا ثم الصلاة والسلام والتحية والإكرام على سيد الفتحاء سيد المرسلين والأنبياء أبي القاسم محمد المصطفى
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد
وعلى الجوهرة القدسية البتول العذراء سيدة النساء فاطمة الزهراء وعلى بعدها أمير المؤمنين وبنيها الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد
لا سيما على بقية الله وحجته الكبرى الذي بيمنه رزق الورى وبوجوده ثبتت الأرض والسماء ولولاه لصاحت الأرض بأهلها واللعنة الدائمة على أعدائهم أجمعين من حين عداوتهم إلى قيام يوم الدين أما بعد فقد قال الإمام الصادق عليه الصلاة والسلام
اللهم صل على محمد
إن بني أمية أطلق الناس تعليم الإيمان ولم يطلقوا تعليم الشرك لكي إذا حملوهم عليه لم يعرفوا صلوات
الله على محمد وآل محمد.
Tonight we are commemorating the death anniversary of the late leader Ayatollah al-Uzma Imam al-Khomeini Ridwanullahi alayh, which is actually on the night of the 3rd of June, but we are commemorating tonight. And the philosophers and likewise the Urafa classify the travels of the soul into four kinds and four stages. The first travel is actually min al-khalq ila al-haq. That means as-sayru min al-khalq ila al-haq. The soul of the person has to travel from the creatures towards Haqq, which means Allah. This is a very difficult stage for everyone because it requires a person to give talaq to this dunya and to detach ourselves completely and fully, itlaqan, absolute detachment from every ta'alluq, an attachment of this dunya. So you find that only handful of people in the human population are able to reach this high level, which is the level number one, suffer and travel number one, the first travel of the soul, how the Urafa say it and the philosopher say it. Mullah Sadra rahmatullah alayh, who is considered to be among the highest of the Islamic philosophers, who has written his famous book Al-Asfar al-Arba'a, takes about 9 years in the Hawza to study Al-Asfar al-Arba'a, maybe more than 9 years, depends on the person, and it has 9 volumes. So the reason he calls his book Al-Asfar al-Arba'a, the four travels, is exactly what we are discussing here tonight. He talks about the four travels of the soul in his book. The Islamic philosophy is all about the Tawheed and giving the Tawheedi viewpoint to the entire universe, that we look at everything from the perspective of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So there are only hand few of human beings who can travel this first travel, depart everything of this world and fly up towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and have no attachment with dunya and its belongings. That's the safar number one and travel number one. And then the soul has to move forward to the second stage of traveling, which is called as-sairu fil haqq bil haqq. That means a person in his spirituality has to travel through the help of haqq, which means Allah, through the help of Allah within the al-asma'ul husna and as-sifatul uliya, all the beautiful names and the attributes of Allah, within the domain of the sifat and asma of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the soul has to travel within that domain, which is an extremely high level to even understand the tatbiqat and implications of the asma of Allah on everything of this universe, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is running everything, and because of one of his sifat, which is Ainu Dhat, he is conducting one or several things of this universe. Whatever he is doing is because of all those sifat which are Ainu Dhat. So this is an extremely high level to even understand its applications, but that's the second high level of the travel of the soul. The third high level of the travel of the soul is As-sayru min al-haqq ila al-khalq bil-haqq. That's what our Urufa say, that after you reach the level of this asma and sifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, now it's time to go back to the world. That means you come back from Allah back to the creatures, but you have to come back through Allah and now start looking at every creature with the view and with the vision of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How Allah wants you to look. This is another very high level, because only a very less percentage of the Urufa, who are all of them great, but only very less percentage of the Urufa manage to reach this level after reaching the first two levels. We do have the Maslakul Aql in Ilmul Irfan, and the Maslakul Aql means that treading the path treading the intellectual treading the path towards the ma'rifat of Allah from the intellectual perspective, which is easier as compared to the other one, which is maslakul ishq in ilmul irfan. That means we tread the path of having the ma'rifat of Allah from the perspective of our deep love towards Allah and ishq. These are two different ways of having the ma'rifat of Allah, two different ways, and it has two different results. The result of maslakul aql is never be the same as the result of maslakul ishq. So that's why the maslakul aql dictates that when we have already reached Allah and we are already traveling in the asma and sifat, in the domain of the asma and sifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so we are there already, and asma is Ainu Dhat, the names are nothing but his essence, so why do we need to come back to this world? We have already reached our destination, isn't it right? Our destination is to have the ma'rifat of Allah, isn't it right? When you already reached your hadaf of your life, then why do you come back? This is what maslakul aql has to dictate, But the Maslakul Ishq has a different story, and it dictates the person, the Arif, that you have to come back to the Khalq, and that's what the travel, third travel is all about. As-sayru min al-haqq ila al-khalq bil-haqq. That means you turn back from Allah, back to the creatures, with the assistance and power and help of Allah, and start looking at all the creatures from the perspective and viewpoint of Allah. That's how you can start serving the creatures. How Allah wants you to serve. Which is an extremely high level. So this is only going to happen if an arif belongs to Maslakul Ishq. Because Maslakul Aql asks him to stay when he has already reached his hadaf, to stay there. That's what the Aql dictates. But the Ishq and love says, do what Allah loves. Don't stick to your hadaf only. You have to go farther and do what Allah loves and wants from you to perform. So now start looking at the creatures from Allah's perspective and go and serve the khalaiq and creatures how Allah wants you to serve. So again, these are very few people. And then my ustad, my teacher, Ayatullah Jawadi, hafadahullah, was saying in his tafsir, that there, in his lecture, that basically there are some who combine the Maslakul Aql and Maslakul Ishq together, and Maslakul Qalb. So these are very few people. And then the fourth travel of the soul in the falsafa and ilm al-alfan is as-sayru fil khalq bil haqq. That means after we have reached the khalq, the creatures, then we travel among the creatures and we look at each one of them with the view of Tawheed. This is the highest travel of the soul. Obviously, Irfan has its own darajat as well. Not every arif is of the same level. It's very obvious when we just mentioned to you four levels of the soul. Obviously, not everybody reaches all the four levels. When we talk about the second stage where an arif has to travel between the asma and sifat of Allah, not everybody can manage to travel between all the asma and all the sifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Isn't it right? So there's a huge, huge, field of milestones that a person has to achieve in this travel of tazkiyah and taharat of the qalb. It's a different world. It's basically a totally different world that people of this dunya have no idea about these travels of the soul and how the soul is actually, not hypothetically, the soul is actually traveling all those distances. And actually getting and performing all those things, which is, marhalatul tajarrud anil badan. And soul departs the body and travels those distances and performs those tasks. So the soul has an extraordinary supernatural powers given by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So my teacher was saying that a true arif person is let me say what he has said in Farsi first. Mutafakkir ilahi haq mehvaras wali mutafakkir maddi khalq madaras. Any philosopher who is materialistic will be focusing on the people for the sake of the people, whereas a person who is a divine philosopher is going to serving the people for the sake of Allah and looking and focusing on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala even at the time when he's serving the people. So we find that when after learning these four travels, we find that it was not a tradition in the Hausa for the Maraje to deliver a speech. one of the services of Imam Khomeini Ridwanullah Alayh is that he started to do various kinds of services towards Islam and Muslimin and the community, and to preach and propagate and deliver speeches and spread the awareness about the message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala directly by delivering the speeches. Usually the speeches were delivered in the tradition of Hawzat by Khutaba, not by the Maraji. Whereas Imam started this tradition to deliver speeches himself and serve the community. And this is obviously nothing but because of the fact that he belongs to the fourth travel of the soul. The fourth travel of the soul of in Ilm al-Irfan, which is basically focused on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when you are traveling in this creatures. And a person, after correcting his spirituality to that high level, he comes back to the creatures to install the walayat of Allah and the hakimiyat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the supremacy of the qanun and law of Allah over the creatures, and to establish the kalimatullah on this society. So we find there were people, and there are still some people who are misguided, who used to abuse the statement of Hazrat Abdul Muttalib salamullahi alayh, which he said before the wiladat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Before the wiladat of Rasulullah, and before the wahi of, before the tanzeel of Quran, before the revelation of Quran, and before the revelation of the Sharia, and they still misuse the statement of Hazrat Abdul Muttalib by justifying their own excuses, furnishing excuses for their own mawqif and policy, not the mawqif of the Sharia of Rasulullah, their own personal policy. So they misuse the statement of Hazrat Abdul Muttalib, where he said to Abraha, who came to attack with his elephants, that Ana Rabbul Ibil wa inna lil bayte Rabban. They still misuse the statement of Hazrat Abdul Muttalib, as if they don't know that he is saying the statement before the wiladat of Rasulullah, before the Sharia. Are you trying to fool yourself? It's not ja'iz. It's not, my teacher was saying in tafsir, it is not ja'iz for a human to use the istidlal of Hazrat Abdul Muttalib after the nuzul of the Sharia of Rasulullah, because it is against the Nassul Quran. We don't do ijtihad fi qibal al-nass. That's haram, isn't it right? The Nassul Quran has said, that's not the zahir of Quran. Nassul Quran has said, in awliya'uhu illa al-muttaqoon. Talking about the holy Kaaba, the Quran has fixed that who can become the mutawalli of the Kaaba, and the person who is the caretaker of Kaaba is the one who are muttaqoon. So now, after the Quran has, in the Nassur Quran has said, the, you know, given the charge of the holy Kaaba in the control of the muttaqeen, now the muttaqeen cannot say that Allah is going to take care of his Kaaba himself. When Allah in his Nass of Quran is giving the charge to the muttaqeen, now you cannot say, I'm not going to do my fariza, I'll leave it on Allah. Unless you want to do something against the Holy Quran and against the Sharia of Rasulullah. But that's how some people are trying to play with themselves. They are playing with themselves in the Sharia of Rasulullah. So, we find that if that was the case, Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam would have never said in al-Khutbah al-Shiqshiqiyya, which is the most famous sermon of Nahj al-Balagha, Khutbah number 3, where he has said, لَوْلَا حَضُورُ الْحَاضِرُ وَقِيَامُ الْحُجَّةِ بِوُجُودِ النَّاسِرِ وَمَا أَخَذَ اللَّهُ مِنَ عَلَى الْعُلَمَاءِ أَنْ لَا يُقَارُوا عَلَى كِذَّةِ ظَالِمِ وَلَا سَغَبِ مَظْلُومِ لألقيت حبلها على غريبها ولسقيت آخرها بكأس أولها. ولألفيتم دنياكم هذه أزهد عندي من أفتة عنز. So in the light of this beautiful statement of Amir Mumin alayhi salam, we learn, although all of his statements are equally beautiful, we learn that if all those people who gathered to do the bay'at of Imam Ali alayhi salam at the fourth place, and the hujjat of Allah the God complete upon Imam Ali alayhi salam to now work to take charge of the government and establish the hukumat of adl on the fourth place, because bivujud in Nasir, because the support is there, wa ma akhadha Allahu ala al-ulama, and because of the reason that Allah has already taken an ahd and covenant and mithaq from the scholars, an la yuqarru ala kizzati zalim, not to stay silent, not to stay idle over the zalim people having their stomach full, wala saghri mazloom, and Allah has taken the mithaq and ahd and covenant from the scholars not to stay idle over the hunger, the, you know, of the mazloom person. So la alqaytu, if that was not the case, if Allah has not taken all these covenants, Imam Ali says, I would also have left the rope of this animal of Khilafat to be on the back of the animal, let the animal go wherever it wants to go. If you don't want to take care of the camel or the horse, what are you going to do? You put the reins, the zimam, over the back and let the animal go. Isn't that right? You don't care what happens to the animal because you have nothing to do with that. Isn't that right? But Imam Ali says, if all this misaq and ahad from Allah was not there, I would also put the reins of Khilafat on the back of the animal and let the animal of Khilafat go. But did he let go the animal of Khilafat so the Tahuts can play around with our mustaqbal and destiny? Certainly not. The same Imam Ali who says, وَلَأَلْفَيْتُمْ دُنْيَاكُمْ هَذِهِ أَزْهَدْ عِنْدِي, you would have seen, in other words, that this dunya of yours is, I am more disconnected from this dunya. Zero, you know, raghbat and inclination towards dunya. I'm more zahid towards this dunya as towards the sneeze of a goat. How much, who cares about the sneezing of a goat? Does it have any value? Does anybody care about a goat sneezing somewhere in this world? Imam Ali doesn't give no importance to your dunya, not even as much importance as sneezing of a goat somewhere in this world. Look at the beautiful example that he wants to make the people crystal clear and understand how much important the hukumat is. The same Imam Ali who has this much zero raghbat towards dunya is going towards the hukumat. Because some people misinterpret this hadith, the Imam Ali has nothing to do with dunya, so we have nothing to do with hukumat. That's how people play with their own souls. So we find that Islam is asking us to keep away from dunya, not from mujtama. As zuhud anil dunya, but not zuhud anil mujtama. There's a huge world of difference. We are supposed to break away from dunya, but not from the human society. La ruhbaniyata fil Islam. You have to stay in the human society and serve them. You have to perform your social obligations and political obligations towards the communities. Isn't it right? If you go to the mountains and monasteries, how are you going to do your social duties? Imam al-Mujtaba alayhi salam says, خَيْرُ النَّاسِ مَنْ يَنْفَعُ النَّاسِ. Isn't that right? So, وَاللَّهِ لَدُنْيَاكُمْ هَذِهِ أَهْوَنْ عِنْدِي مِنْ إِرَاقِ خِنْزِيرٍ بِيَدِ مَجْزُومٍ. Majzoom is a person who has jazam. Now, nobody even bothers to look at those people. Isn't it right? People want to distance themselves. People don't even pay a visit to those kind of ill people. Isn't it right? Leprosy. Those who are suffering, the lepers who are suffering from leprosy. People distance themselves from those who are suffering from leprosy. Isn't it right? Because this is one of those illnesses which is munaffir. It repels the people away. It's not attractive. In our Ilmul Kalam, we believe that none of the Anbiya and Aimma alayhi salam can suffer from jazam or baras, those of the illnesses which are repulsive towards the human nature. People don't want to come close to you. Allah doesn't want the Anbiya to become repulsive or Aimma to become repulsive. So in our Ilmul Kalam, it's muhal and impossible for a Nabi or an Imam to end up having jizam or baras as an illness. So Imam Ali alayhi salam says that, I swear to God, this your dunya is ahwan indi, has less importance, in other words, in my eyes, than the boon of a pig in the hand of a leper, somebody who is suffering from leprosy, madzu. If somebody who is suffering from leprosy and he's carrying the bone of a pig in his hand, who cares about the bone of a pig? Isn't that right? A najis al-ayn animal. Look at the clearest possible examples he's giving, so the people don't mix hubb ad-dunya with that. Hubb ad-dunya has to be condemned, but still the same Imam Ali alayhi salam wants hukumat. Isn't it right? He's not silent over the zulm of the zalimeen or tawagheet for the sake of ihqaqul haqq. This is Imam Ali alayhi salam. That's where he doesn't find the companions. If Imam Ali just, you say you love Ahlul Bayt and you do nothing, you talk about them, you praise them, and you let the taghut play with your destiny. If that's the kind of Ahlul Bayt were, and they were asking us to do only that much of Islam to feel good about, just to feel good about. Islam is not a religion to feel good about. Islam is a religion to do and practice. Isn't that right?
لو كان حبك صادقا لا أطعته إن المحب لمن يحب مطيع.
So Islam is not a religion to just feel good. So we find that in our society, where they were people who had nothing to do with the occupation of Masjid al-Aqsa, well, they say those people are not of Isna Ashari religion, so we don't care about them. Well, do you think Masjid al-Aqsa is also not Isna Ashari? Is that what you're trying to say? In the Shari'at of Imam Sadiq al-Islam, it is allowed to give your masjid to the kuffar? Which Imam Sadiq are you following? Not the Imam Sadiq al-Islam that we follow. Our Sharia does not allow the masjid to be given into hands of kuffar. Forget about the religion of those people. Is the Masjid al-Aqsa Sunni or Shia? Unless you want to run away from your fariza towards Allah, then if you don't want, you become najuj and, you know, stubborn, then nobody can have a cure for you because you don't want to accept it. Isn't that right? But some people are najuj. You know, they want to do ta'wilat and tawjihat, but not follow it. Not follow the Sharia, but do their own ta'wilat. That's the way some people are. Nobody can find any solution for them, because they themselves don't want to listen to Imam Sadiq alayhi salam. Isn't it right? So some people were okay. Let it be. So what if Masjid al-Aqsa is occupied? They were saqit. They were, you know, they were doing tamkeen. They were accommodating it. They were accommodating the zulm, forgetting about the fact that we are discussing the biggest enemies of Imam Sahib al-Zaman alayhi salam, the Yazids of today. You know, not only the Yazids of yesterday. No, that's not the Islam of convenience. The Islam of Ahlul Bayt, not Islam of convenience. We're talking about Yazids of today as well. Isn't that right? What we are supposed to do towards them. This is why you find that Nuraniyat and Imam al-Khumayni radhiyallahu anhu, that people used to shiver in front of him because of his jihad. This is how what gives izzat and sharaf of Islam returns back. What Sayyidah Zahra salamullah alayha says in the darbar of Taghut, talking about jihad, al-jihad izzan lil Islam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, jihad in our religion, in other words, provides izzat for Islam. So those people who perform the jihad has the izzat in the eyes of Allah. Fadlallahu al-mujahideena ala al-qa'ideena ajran azeema. There, some people were okay about, you know, as many ulama are captured, as many ulama are tortured, as many ulama are killed. You know, Ayatullah al-Uzma, Sayyid Muhsin al-Hakim, rahmatullahi alayhi, his whole family was killed. Isn't that right? Imam Muhammad Baqir al-Sadr, rahmatullahi alayhi, was killed. Shahida bintul Huda, salamullah alayha, rahmatullahi alayha, radwanullahi alayha, was killed. So many other ulama were killed by tawaghit. Some people were still okay with all the mazalim. Some people are okay with the kuffar and mushrikeen playing in the bilad al-muslimin. Some people were okay about all those harams which were isha'atul fahsha wal munkar, which is going on. Isn't it right? Some people were okay with the hukumat of Tahut, but when it comes to our maraji, hafazahumullah ajma'in, you find Ayatullah al-Uzma Sistani, hafazahullah, is not ready to even talk to an alim. Isn't it right? How much they tried to even talk to him over the telephone for once, for 1 minute. He does not agree to talk to any zalim for 1 minute. Not to even sit with a zalim. Look at the azamat of our maraji. And look at how some people are selling faith by tamalluk towards the... They have nothing to do with the maraji. We don't respect these people. We respect the maraji. So in that kind of environment, where you find that it was the sign of modernism to support the kuffar and mushrikeen, you are very advanced and modern, and you are outdated if you start following the rules of an ahkam and values of the sharia, isn't that right? So we find in that environment where some of the people used to spit on the face in Tehran, some of the people used to spit on the face of the ulama. In that environment, one person comes forward and he installs the hukum of Allah and removes the tawaghit. And he says, I'm going to cut the hands of isti'mar from our country. So no one can dare penetrate, no kafir can dare penetrate in our country. This is how I'la of Kalimatul Haqq will happen, because they understand the meaning of La Ilaha before they could say Illallah. Some people don't understand the meaning of La Ilaha, so that's why they are inclining towards Tawaghit. Prayers and fasting and Hajj, that's in Furuuddin. We are not there yet. We're talking about the Suruuddin. We are not done with the Suruuddin. Isn't that right? We're talking about Tawheed, which Abu Sufyan and Abu Jahl, la'natullah alayh, isn't that right? He could understand the meaning of La ilaha illallah, because Prophet was asking from day one of his propagation, Qulu la ilaha, in the beginning days of his propagation, Qulu la ilaha illallah tuflihu. Prophet did not say, stop bringing alcohol from day one. No. Prophet did not say from day one, you have to fast for 30 days. No. Wujub al-siyam became wajib, siyam became wajib in the second hijrah in Medina, not in Makkah. Makkah, siyam was not wajib. Hajj was not wajib. Isn't it right? Salat was not wajib. So Prophet is not asking all the list of wajibat and keeping away from ijtinabul muharramat. Prophet is saying one sentence. Even lip service is okay. Abu Sufyan did lip service at the time of Fathul Makkah. Isn't it? Laklakatul lisan. And it was accepted. Obviously, we don't call him mu'min, then we call him Muslim. Isn't it right? Why was Abu Jahl not ready to do the lip service of La ilaha illallah? Because he understood the meaning of La ilaha illallah. That some of the Muslims still don't understand the meaning. Actions speak louder, so they are doing tamalluk. So we find in this, in these times, where on the seerat of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, who has said, on the seerat of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, who had said that لو لم يكن لي ملجأ ولا مأوى لما بايعت يزيد بن معاوية. Even if I have no place to go, no place for any refuge. لو لم يكن لي في الدنيا ملجأ ولا مأوى. If I, there is no place in dunya for me to seek refuge, I will still not do the bay'at of Yazid, son of Muawiyah. It's not that Imam Hussain alayhi salam didn't have an option. If he had an option, he could think otherwise. No. Even if you are giving him options to save his life, you know, even if there was no option for Imam Hussain alayhi salam at all, but he's still not ready to, I mean, supporting the Tawhid is a basic rock bottom asasi
principle of Quran and Ahlul Bayt where there is zero compromise.
لَقَدْ بَعَثْنَا فِي كُلِّ أُمَّةٍ رَسُولًا أَنْ اَعْبُدُ اللَّهَ وَاجْتَنِبُ الطَّاغُوتِ.
We cannot reinvent the wheel.
Imam al-Khomeini Ridwanullah alayh also used to say that agar as furudga be furudga furudgah digar rawanam kunit va dur dar ruye man zameen jai na dashte bashad haman harf e sayyid shuhada ejra.
If you keep on transferring me from one airport to another, I will still work for implementing and enforcing the statement of Sayyidul Shuhada alayhi salam on this society. And that's exactly what happened with him. He had a valid visa of Kuwait. And when the times became, the government was not allowing him to continue his stay in Iraq and Najaf, so he went to Kuwait with his family. Despite the fact he has a valid visa, the Kuwaiti government did not allow him to enter. So he had to come back, and he came back to Baghdad, and then he flew to Paris. And French government allowed him to come, but the Kuwaitis did not allow him to come, despite the fact that he had a valid visa. So in those days, the Iranian passport used to need any visa for France. If you had an Iranian passport, you can travel to France without a visa. So he came back to Baghdad, and he traveled to Paris, and that's where we stayed for almost 6 months. Right, so he was also being transferred from one country to the another. Shah actually sent him to Turkey, isn't it right? And from Turkey he came to Iraq, from Iraq he went to Kuwait, from Kuwait he did not allow, so he came back and went to Paris. So in Islam, when you talk to people about the fariza, they start bringing the mawani, isn't that right? There are some people who want to bring the mawani' and obstacles so that they can not perform the fariwa. Whereas Imam Rahmatullah Alayh was the person who was fariwa focused person, not natija oriented. He didn't used to care about what's going to be the result of what if he performed the fariwa, this is going to happen. Or this is the mane and obstacle. People used to say, you don't have no army. Shah is the biggest bully in the Persian Gulf region. Saudi Arabia, Wahhabis were nothing in those days. Nobody used to care about Saudis. Baddu Saudis. They're no sense. Senseless Wahhabi Saudis. Even the US administration or Europeans, they were not, these people were not even close to the status that Shah enjoyed. Isn't that right? Shah was the biggest bully of the region. So he had all those armaments and silah and weaponry. And when somebody asked Imam al-Khomeini, where is your army? That's what the people say. If we want to do this and this and this, we need to have an army. You know, you use your aqal, it's hibbul nafs, protecting your life is wajib in Islam. This and that. 1001 excuses. 1001 excuses are ready, but not to do the fariwa. Isn't it right? Look at his answer. My army is in the laps of mothers. And that's so true. And he never cared about when he came back on the 1st of February 1979, and that was the interim government of Shah, Rahmatullah Alayh, Shah's interim government of Shahpur Bakhtiar. And he had installed the shoot-on-sight curfew. Isn't it right? First he installed the surface-to-air missiles on the Mehrabad airport. So they can blow up the plane in the air when it comes from Paris. So Air France refused to give any plane because no insurance company was insuring the flight. Every flight has to be insured. Isn't it right? There's a law. You cannot fly a passenger plane without the insurance. No insurance company in the world was ready to insure the plane from Paris to Tehran, so Air France refused to give the flight. And Quran has its own promise. And Imam Ridwanullah Alayh has Iman in the Quran. Allah has said, وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا. Isn't it right? Whoever has taqwa, Allah provides opening for him. We have to break away from maddi, maddiyat and material, asbab and ilal. We have to break away and we have to attach ourselves with musabbibul asbab and khalikul asbab. So we have to become above the asbab and ilal and causes to expect the nusrat of Allah. Because we are not maddiyun, we are not materialists. We have iman in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So our policy has to be different from the maddiyin. The maddiyin are the ones who focus on the asbab and ilal and causes and material, tools and instruments in your hands. If you don't have this much army, okay, then just keep quiet and, if you can't beat them, join them.
That's the regular principle in this alamul madda. If you don't have that much power, okay, then dance to the tunes of those who are more powerful than you. Isn't it right? That's how they say.
So this is how the Maddiyun would do. But we are not Maddiyun. We are Ahlul Ma'na. Isn't that right? We believe in Ma'naviyat.
So we find that Shapur Bakhtiyar installed surface to air missiles. Allah arranged some mu'min paid several times of the price for the insurance. Air France gave the plane. He came. Millions of people, 4.5 million people came towards Mehrabad airport on 1st of February. 4.5 million ocean of human beings.
So God knows where were the soldiers of Shapur Bakhtiyar assigned on the Mehrabad airport. Where did they go? God knows. And where were those surface to air missiles installed by Shapur Bakhtiyar? See, we have one universal principle in Islam. You can never fight the masses.
That's the job of our ulama.
They make movements and they spread awareness. So the awareness about the Quran and the ma'arif of Ahlul Bayt becomes widespread and deep-rooted in the masses. When the people rise up, no power can crush.
The power lies within the hands of the people. And you can never crush a popular movement. You can delay it, but you can never crush it. That's a universal principle. So 4.5 million people came, and we now find that people came close to the runway and his plane landed. People raised his car over his shoulders. And he had his own principles. He went straight to the Maqbara, the Qabristan, the graveyard of Bahisht-e-Zahra in Tehran to say salam to the Shuhada first. Look at his values and principles of life. He went straight to the graveyard from the airport to say salam to the Shuhada. They deserve the salam first. And that's where he delivered his speech. Shapur Bakhtiyar enforced shoot on sight curfew. And when Imam Ridwanullah Alayh heard about that, he said, tomorrow, staying in your houses is haram. Shapur Bakhtiyar is installing shoot on sight curfew.
And look at the policy of Imam. Because he's fariza focused individual. He's not natija oriented person. Forget about the results. He used to say, مَا مُكَلَّفِ وَزِيفَيْنَا نَتِيجَ نَحْنُ مُكَلَّفُونَ بِالْفَرِيضَةِ أَمَامَ اللَّهِ لَسْنَا مُوَظَّفِينَ بِالنَّتِيجَةِ يَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ اللَّهُ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى لَا يَسْأَلْ مِنَّا يعني هَلْ حَصَّلْتُمَ النَّتَائِجَ أَمْ لَا لَا
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of judgment will not ask us, did you achieve the natija? So you are unsuccessful.
No. Allah, after Imam Hassan alayhi salam, none of the Imams could establish a government. Isn't that right? All of them wanted to establish Iqamatul Adl, like Imam Sahib Uthman, but they could not because of lack of support from the mu'mineen. You don't complain about the kuffar. Kuffar are kuffar. You don't have no hope from the enemies. Isn't that right? You have all the hope from your fellow mu'min brothers.
So we find that, but all the Imams are successful. Isn't it right? Because they did their fariza. Whether people supported them or did not support them, that's up to the people to answer before Allah. They did their best job in fariza. In Islam, your success does not depend on natija. Your success in the law depends on your fariza. So he said, tomorrow staying in the homes is haram. And women came out with their babies in their laps. Obviously, there were people who became shaheed. But that was the turning point where the people raided the bases, army and other armed forces bases, and that's where the whole revolution turned from that fatwa of the Imam.
And today everybody, all the analysts agree, if that was not done, that fatwa was not issued, there would have been no revolution. Not just that, but actually the kuffar would have been killing the ulama and the Shias so much that tomorrow for next 100 years nobody can talk about Islam. Ihtimalan. They would go that far because they don't want this kind of mess against their tughyan and their hegemony to take place again in the entire region. Isn't that right? So it's not just one revolution stopped, it's the revolution taken, rooted out from the whole region for next possibly 100 years. But there are some who are maybe okay for with even that, isn't that right?
Because they want dunya. What Imam Hussain is saying, Nas abidud dunya. People are slaves of dunya. Wadino laikun ala al sanatihim. You know, they just want to be called religious in the society. We are religious too. See, we hold the majalis al azab, Imam Hussain. We do latmiyat, we do nawha, we do, you know, this and that. We are also Shias.
Wadino laikun ala al sanatihim. وَلْيُحِيطُونَ بِهِمَا دَرَّتْ مَعَائِشُهُمْ. As long as their dunya, their material life, their lifestyle goes smoothly, they are mutadayyin and religious. They follow the religion because their dunya lifestyle is going smooth. يُحِيطُونَ بِهِمَا دَرَّتْ مَعَائِشُهُمْ فَإِذَا مُحِّسُوا بِالْبَلَىٰ. When they are subjected to tests, to test, قَلَّ الدَّيَّانُونَ. That's where we find the real followers of religion are less. So we find, before I come to the end of the speech, we find that the hadith which I recited from Imam Sadiq alayhi salam in the beginning of my speech, Inna bani Umayyata atlaqu an-nasa ta'lim al-iman wa lam yutliqu ta'lim al-shirk. Bani Umayyah certainly allowed the people to getting educated about the education of iman, but did not, in other words, did not let the people to get the knowledge of shirk. وَلَمْ يُطْلِقُوا تَعْلِيمَ الشِّرْكِ. Why is that? Why did the Bani Umayyah do that? Imam says, لِكَيْ إِذَا حَمَلُوهُمْ عَلَيْهِ لَمْ يَعْرِفُوهُ. So that, this is from Usul al-Kafi, volume number 2. So Imam Sadiq alayhi salam says, so that if Bani Umayyah take them to do shirk, they won't recognize they are doing shirk.
So they were not taught what shirk is all about. Shirk-i-amali. They were not taught about that. So they were allowed to know about iman, but not about the shirk. Now what are the examples of shirk? That's where our scholars say, the examples of shirk is qiyam against the imam.
Isn't it right? Now tomorrow Banu Umayyah is asking those
jahil people to do qiyam against Amir al-Mumin alayhi salam, which is shirk. Shirk-un-amali. But people are ready to do it because they were not allowed to learn about all the possible situations of shirk in Islam. Inna banu bayyata atlaqu an-nas ta'lim al-iman wa lam yutliqu ta'lim ash-shirk likay idha hamaluhum alayhi lam ya'rifu. That's exactly what happened. Sabbul imam is shirkun amali. Using abusive language for the imam. Qiyam against the imam is shirkun amali. Fighting against the imam. People are ready to fight. Isn't that right?
Likewise, any kind of izhar and expression of adawat and enmity towards the Ahlul Bayt and Ahlul Salam is shirkun amali. Likewise, inkar and denial of the nas of Rasulullah is shirkun amali. And all these shirks, all these four shirks were committed by the people because Banu Umayyah asked them to do that and they did it. Isn't it right? And they continue to consider themselves to be very nice people. We are Muslims too. When Imam Ali alayhi salam was once sending la'nat on the ashab of Jamal, one person came and said,
make the nice doers mustasna. Make the good doers among them mustasna, exempt from your la'nat.
There were Muslims too among them. Imam Ali alayhi salam replied,
ma kana fihim muslim. There was no Muslim among them. That means in the Ashab al-Jamal, in the dictionary of Amir al-Mu'mineen wa Imam al-Muttaqeen, Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam, all of them were kuffar. But there are so many who still consider them Muslims, isn't it right? Why? Because in Bani Umayyah, atlaqu an-nas ta'lim al-iman, wa lam yutliqu ta'lim al-shirk.
That's the reason. they fail to understand the concepts of Iman and Shirk in Islam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless all of us to understand and follow the footsteps of the walayat of Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salatu was-salam and the walayat of the faqih al-jami' lish-shara'it fi zaman al-ghaybah. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين واخذل الكفار والمنافقين اللهم انصر من نصر الدين واخذل من خذل المسلمين اللهم انصر واحفظ وأيد علماءنا الربانيين ومراجعنا الربانيين لا سيما الولي الفقيه قائد المسلمين اللهم انصر جيوش المسلمين وعساكر الموحدين اللهم فك عن الأسراء المسلمين اللهم وفقنا لما تحب وترضى وعجل في فرج مولانا صاحب الزمان واجعلنا من أنصاره وأشياعه وأتباعه وأعوانه بجاه محمد وآله الطاهرين